Friday is here, so is Game 2 of the Championship Series in NBL 24, and it heads to what some might call the Little Island. I wouldn't call it that, neither would Liam Santamaria, who's here to preview this massive Game 2. We'll go into a deep dive in that, we'll hit some of the headlines around the league, and of course get into our weekend headlines too. That's all coming up on NBL Now. A big morning ahead of Game 2 in the Championship Series on this Friday, the 22nd of March. Joel Peterson and one of the sharpest minds in business, Liam Santamaria, with you. Good morning, Liam.
Morning, Joel. I'm excited, mate. I'm excited with Game 2 now just hours away.
Absolutely. There's been verbal barbs along the way, and Scott Roth with his the Little Island comments, and Dean Vickerman coming back to that. And everyone's had their chance to weigh in on that during the week. It's been good fun keeping abreast of that. Of course, on the NBL app, it's been lighting up the headlines. There's been so much content that's come out of that Game 1. If you haven't got it, it's a very good time to get it. All the stats, you can jump on NBL Plus. It's doing really big numbers this year, which is terrific. And it's not too late just to sneak into the App Store and download it, Liam.
Well, why wouldn't you have the NBL app at this point? I mean, certainly if you've been following this incredible season and listening to NBL Now on the regular, then I think you need to have the app and drop into there, every now and then just to check up what is going on, all the great content coming out of NBL Media.
Well, we're not here to question people's life choices, but you know we kind of are if you don't have it. That's okay though. No, it's a judgment free zone. It's a judgment free zone. Let's get into Game 2. So tonight we go to Tassie, Melbourne dominant in Game 1. They made a real statement at home. Tassie get the chance to do that on their home floor tonight. Where do, in your mind, the Jack Jumpers need to make up a bit of ground on Melbourne United?
They got to clamp down. That's what they got to do. The Jack Jumpers are built around their defense. We saw earlier in the season when their defense was kind of not where it needed to be, they were actually starting to slide away from where they needed to be. And you remember Scott Roth saying, hey, listen, like our season is on the brink here. I don't know how many of these games we're going to win. And that was a result of their defense not being at the level. And I'll be honest, it wasn't in Game 1. They tried. I feel like they were a little sluggish. I feel like they were a little heavy-legged. I remarked to my son, who I was sitting there watching the game with, the Jack Jumpers felt like they were going about playing that Game 1 like it was Game 1 of a 5-game series. Whereas you've got to play that thing like it's Game 5 every single step of the way. And if you do happen to land at a Game 5, you then got to take it up to an even further level from there. And they didn't have that kind of intensity. So, yes, Chris Golding hit tough shots. Yes, Joe Lawalachul is a big problem inside when he's got that type of mentality. But you've got to provide more resistance, and that'll be the focus coming in tonight.
In terms of, I guess, you know, Lawalachul was so dominant. There was a lot made about that. I guess the battle of the bigs, that each team has those two big presences inside. How key is that for Tassie just to be able to wall up and have Magne and Lee play really critical roles?
Yeah, very important. You've got to win that battle, actually. You know, Magne and Lee have got to come out at the end of that game, and we're all saying they took the points over Joe Lawalachul and Ariel Hook-Porty. So they have that capability. Both of these teams have two rock-solid two-headed monsters at the five spot. And it starts for Tassie. It does start with Will Magne. Regardless of actually who starts the game, you know, we saw Marcus Lee start the game for almost the entire year, and Magne's just been starting these last few. But Magne is the one that needs to really assert his authority, protect the rim without fouling, and really got to set good picks, roll to the rim, and present as a target up top as well. So it's a huge battleground, the battle of the bigs, in all those respects, but also on the glass. You know, the Jack Jumpers got blasted on the glass in Game 1, and they're going to have to turn that around.
And the backcourt for the Jack Jumpers, so we know Jordan Crawford's struggling. Melbourne United got, obviously, you know, Matthew Dellavedova just continues to impress. Shea Ely's got that. You know, he can completely take away almost an opposition player. Milton Doyle was really efficient, 13 shots, 16 points, but they didn't get that extra scoring punch out of that point guard position. Is it Crawford or McDonald that can provide that in your mind, the way things are going?
It's the combination of the two. And what they need is both of them up and about. We've seen one or the other a lot of the time in the last month or so. But, you know, those games where Jordan Crawford is sensational. Remember, he averaged 17 points a game across the regular season. So he's put points on the board. And then Sean McDonald comes off the bench and gives them a real spark. That's what they need. And look, it's been much spoken about, particularly this week, because Jordan Crawford's struggles have continued and Sean McDonald had an uncharacteristic quiet game in game one. So they need both those guys step up. But you know what? They need Jack McVay to step up as well. I mean, he's challenged here. Who's going to be the better power forward in this series, you or Luke Travers? Because if it's Luke Travers, then that's a huge step forward to Melbourne United in terms of hoisting the championship trophy. But Jack McVay's the guy that was all NBL this year. So they need him to step up and assert his influence as well.
In terms of Travers, I mean, he's a really interesting character in the way that he goes about it. Even just his demeanor in interviews has changed remarkably over the last couple of years. And he looks like he's really maturing into the player that he's going to be. Is it fair to call this a breakout playoffs for him? Like, we know he can perform at this level, but what he has done over the first four games of this final series for Melbourne United's been so impressive.
Oh, your memory is short, Joel. I don't think we can, because he broke out in the finals in the postseason a few years ago. In fact, Melbourne's last championship run, when the Wildcats did not have Bryce Cotton and a young teenage Luke Travers, with the Wildcats trailing one zip, they step into the Wynn Entertainment Center in Wollongong, and he has a double-double to save their season. And then the Wildcats go home without Bryce Cotton and work their way into the championship series. That was his breakout postseason. And now, as you say, we're just seeing the ongoing maturation of Luke Travers. Six combined steals and blocks in game one. It went a little under the radar. I've always fantasized about a Luke Travers 5-by-5 game. Will we see one in a grand final series game? Well, I doubt it. But when you look across the box score and he's got 9 points, 3 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals, 4 blocks, he's had an enormous impact.
Yeah, breakout might not be the right word. Maybe it's an evolution. Maybe it's a further step in his game. But it's it's just so good to watch what he's doing at the moment. Is there improvement for Melbourne United off game one? And where does it come from, if there is?
Oh, that's a good question. They were pretty good. And if they serve that up, if Chris Golding's hitting 6 threes and Joe Lualatul is being a dominant force, and Shay Ely and Matthew Dellavedova are keeping one of Jordan Crawford or Milton Doyle quiet, and Luke Travers is outplaying Jack McVay, and Ian Clark is coming off the bench and having nearly 20 points and hitting the dagger, I mean, that's a recipe for championship success. So, you know, they will be looking, of course, their focus will be like, yes, let's improve every game. But the reality is that's what it's going to take. If they can put that out there on the floor, they're going to win 3 of these games and they're going to hoist the trophy.
So the challenge almost becomes not necessarily what they need to do better or different, but how do they respond to what Tassie does better or different?
Exactly. And the atmosphere, because it's going to be a smaller crowd than what was at John Cain Arena, but it's going to be a bigger atmosphere. That's just the reality of it. And the series doesn't really start, they say, Joel, until somebody loses at home. And, you know, I think it doesn't start till someone loses at home or someone's season is on the brink. And you could kind of feel like maybe that's the case for Tassie. If they go down 0-2, they're in big trouble. So, but at the same time, these first couple of games of a series like this with two elite teams, sometimes they can kind of feel like the first couple of games of the fifth set of a marquee Grand Slam tennis matchup. It's Federer and Nadal. It's the fifth set, and they both come out and just hold serve for the first couple of games. Honestly, that's what I'm expecting coming into tonight. Tassie to tie this thing up 1 apiece, and then the pressure and the pendulum swings back to United.
We're working in symbiosis here. We've been doing this all season on Fridays, and you've answered my next two questions in one answer. So I love that. I think that atmosphere is going to be extraordinary tonight, and I like the prediction of Tassie to win it. I mean, it's been a big week for Tassie. They're in the Sheffield Shield final. They've got the AFL team. If the Jack Jumpers can level things up, there's an election that they're going to this weekend as well. So it could be a really banner weekend down there on the quote unquote little island. It could be very big. I'm just putting the quotation marks around it. The inverted commas go around little.
It's not Apple Isle anymore, is it? It's Little Isle. That's a shame for the Taswegians. I tell you, if they win, I think we might see like Scott Roth post-game after the shaking of the hands, semantics, you know, the rah-rah to the crowd that we all have grown to love from the big fella.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we have fun with it. It's a glorious place, Tassie, and there's nothing little about the way that they support the Jack Jumpers. That is absolutely for sure.
You don't backpedal now, Joel. You dug your grave. You got a lie in it.
All right, Rothy, come at me. I don't care. Let's go across to some of the headlines this week. There's been some off-season moves. So Xavier Cooks is back in the NBL with the Sydney Kings. 3 years, reported by ESPN's Olga Newlick, as the biggest deal in NBL history. So that is quite the headline. Christian Doolittle's coming back to Perth as well. After a slow start to his season with the Wildcats, I mean, he really rounded into form and was a big piece to what they did in getting to that game three of that semifinal series against Tassie. And then Adelaide also appointed a GM, sort of this ongoing search to try and fill a key off-season post. They hadn't had that in the last couple of seasons, someone who was really overseeing that, I guess, that off-the-court operation side of things. And Matt Weston steps in from the Sturt Sabres and with some experience within the San Antonio Spurs system to fill that role. What caught your eye out of those? Did you like those moves? Were there some that you liked more than others? How did you sort of sum up the big trio of moves off-season-wise this week?
Well, there was one, and then there were two kind of a long way back, because re-signing or bringing back Xavier Cooks, that's enormous. You know, one of the biggest and best players in the league. I'm picturing Daniel Moldovan as Tom Cruise from Jerry Maguire just screaming down the phone to show me the money, and Chris Pongras and Paul Smith obliging. So that's huge for the Kings, for the league. Awesome stuff to have him coming back. I'm hearing along the grapevine as well that the Kings are kind of really moving and shaking right now. Yes, free agency hasn't officially opened, but people are talking to people behind the scenes.
Never stopped anyone before, has it?
No. In fact, another analogy I'm picturing that Pete Postlethwaite character in The Usual Suspects, you know, Kobayashi, who's just kind of like representing somebody as part of the conversation. I feel like some of that's going on. Kings are moving and shaking. Huge to bring back Xavier Cooks. Christian Doolittle, good re-signing. I like it. Sometimes those re-signings can kind of slide under the radar a little bit because, oh yeah, we know that guy. Not super surprising, but it's important when you've got a key piece like that to be able to get that done and bring him back. And then Matt Weston, Adelaide 36ers, they needed a GM of basketball. Absolutely, they did. They needed somebody there in the recruiting space and in the team building space who can go about it from a basketball perspective. You got Grant Kelly, the owner. You got Nick Barbato, the CEO, running the business side of the operation. And now you've got a go-between Matt Weston between Coach Scott Ninnis and his staff and management and ownership as well. So cool move. I was chatting with him yesterday, welcoming him back into the NBL fold because, of course, he's worked in the league previously, and excited what he and that 36ers group are going to be able to do for next season.
Yeah, given what they came off the end of this year doing, and There's all kinds of upside in Adelaide with massive crowds and a really strong end to the season despite some uncertainty at the start. The other big story this morning, Liam, that's sort of breaking news as we go to record this, is that the NBA is wrapping up the G League Ignite program. So that's the league's owned and run team in the G League that sort of develops the younger prospects that are coming through the pathway. There's obviously a changing landscape in this with the name, image, and likeness deals in college basketball and the way things are shifting with the transfer portal. You know, we see it in college football. We see it in college basketball. It's so different in terms of how players are moving around those systems at the moment. It's not just you sign, you commit, you sign, and then you're there for 4 years. It's a completely different ballgame in terms of how these things are moving at the moment. What did you make of the decision from the NBA? And then, I mean, what does it mean for the Next Stars program?
Yeah, well, it was big news, but not overly surprising. Adam Silver, of course, flagged the potential of closing down the Ignite program when he spoke about his concerns in this space at the NBA All-Star Weekend. So didn't shock me when the news came through tonight, and I'd been hearing murmurings from different people over the last couple of weeks to this effect. It is a changing landscape. You know, the name, image, and likeness opportunities at college is the Wild West right now. And those opportunities are certainly growing. And it can change the landscape even further with Ignite shutting down. There's always going to be athletes who are going to want to take different pathways on their way to achieving their dreams. And so for some of them, college just isn't going to be the best fit. A pro pathway is going to be a better option. So that opportunity is not going to be there at Ignite now moving forward. And, you know, I think that it does put the NBL Next Stars program further in the hearts and minds of prospects that will be looking to take that pro pathway to get to the NBA.
We like that. We like to hear the sound of that. Of course, there's been some good players come through that G League Ignite pathway, and hopefully a few more. Undoubtedly a few more great players coming to the NBL and into the Next Stars program. Let's hit our weekend headlines to close this thing out. There's a big weekend of basketball ahead. So tonight, 7:30 Eastern Daylight Time, of course, down in Tassie. But then you roll around to Sunday and we've got that game three. So we've got two games this weekend. It's going to be a busy weekend of hoops. Sunday, 5:30. So it's a different start time to usual. The Australian Grand Prix is on just down the road on Sunday. Yep. So a 5:30 Eastern Daylight start on Sunday for Melbourne and Tassie. Do you want to kick off with a headline?
Sure. Can do. Crazy to think that the whole entire season might be over in just a couple of days by the end of the
week. Don't tell me that.
I hope it's not. In fact, my weekend headline is stemming from a place of imagining the hypothetical where the Jack Jumpers just go whackety whack over these next couple of games. They tie it up at home tonight and then they come into Melbourne and shock the world and go up 2-1. And what is it? What is the lead paper down in Hobart?
The Mercury.
We'll run something on the back page that says the little island that could.
Yes. Just chugging away. Just chugging away. I like that.
A graph or a picture there with the, you know, obviously the train driver leading his head out the window, and it's Scott Ross.
It's Scotty.
Just driving the train up the hill.
Oh, that's magnificent. That's quite the visual. I can't top that because I don't have the visual element, but that's very, very good. But again, you know, great minds. We're coming at this from the same place. I'm going to go a little bit political with mine, though. Not too political, just a bit of a tie-in. Of course, it's election weekend in Tassie. There's all kinds of ramifications for that, you know, in a broader sense, infrastructure-wise down there, and it's a really interesting space politically. But, of course, whoever wins that election is going to be in a different space to where they were at the start of the week. If Tassie win game two and then Tassie win game three, then that's going to be pretty significant. And the Mercury, I'm going front page. So this isn't just back page news. This is front page. A little strap, you know, big weekend for the Tassies and let's say the Tasmanian Liberals, who after big wins both hold the balance of power. Jackie's up 2-1 in the series. And whoever is the ruling party in Tasmania is also in charge of things as well. Ooh, so
like
that's where I'm going.
All that together.
Perfectly bit of a setup, done. Bit of a setup, but they always are. That's just how my mind works. Liam, great fun talking hoops with you on this Friday morning. Gee, I mean, you know, it's a realistic prospect that the season could all be over on Sunday, but I mean, we hope it's not from a selfish perspective. Plenty of Melbourne United fans will hope that it is, but it's going to be fascinating to see how it all unfolds.
Can't wait to watch.
Good fun. Thanks, Liam, for your company this morning. Thanks to everyone out there for your company on NBL Now. Hopefully not the last Friday show for a little while. Hopefully that championship series rolls on. Tonight, 7:30, Sunday, 5:30 Eastern Daylight Time, two big games in this championship series.